30% of people make resolutions and 70% of us don't. The resolutions, how much percentage do you think actually see those resolutions through? None? That's my kind of person. How many? 5%? It's actually 9% of people that make resolutions see it through for 1 year. So that's pretty good. I don't know that I've ever seen anything through for a year other than my marriage. And that's still going. So we're presented with daily opportunities to set resolutions or to take advantage of new opportunities that come our way. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like each day provides you with an opportunity to, yeah, I'm so glad to see that nodding head, because I can go through, depending on whether I'm paying attention or not, and that's something I'd like us to consider today. I can go through my day oblivious to opportunities that can present themselves. We need to be aware that there are opportunities. I can go through a week or a month or whatever and just not realize that God has presented me any opportunities, but He does. He does. And it can be the simplest things, too. I know in our life group, we've talked about this a fair amount at different times, where we look to the opportunity that God gave me is to preach to the nation of Canada and whatever that might be. Or it could be the opportunity when the Bible says, if you give a cup of water in my name, I'm going to be there. That's an opportunity, and I'll tell you, if somebody's dying of thirst, that's a pretty important opportunity for you to take up. So today, as we look, we see all kinds of, it was interesting when I was going through the scripture to see how many people missed opportunities. Did Peter ever miss an opportunity? He always stood up for Christ. He denied Jesus 3 times in the same evening. And Peter, he's a stalwart of our faith, and yet he didn't take that opportunity. Abraham, amazing man, lied about his wife a couple of different times because that just wasn't going to work. Moses, he led the people of Israel out of captivity and argued with God before that, saying, not me, you got the wrong guy. This is not for me. The opportunities that we have that come before us are based on Jesus and what he can do, not on what I can do. You think about David. He had the heart of God. He had the heart of God, and yet he murdered. He took Bathsheba. Not such great things. But we have an opportunity here in Esther. Chapter 4, you said you put the words up there, didn't you, Paul? Oh, there you go. Well, I'm going to, as you look at that, if you're so inclined, I'm going to read a little bit further in Esther. So in Esther chapter 4, verse 11, it says, all the king's officials, even the people in the provinces, know that anyone who appears before the king in his inner court without being invited is doomed to die. So you can come to the king's court anytime you want, but if you're not invited, you're going to die. Unless, of course, the king holds out his gold scepter. And the king has not called for me to come for the past 30 days. This is Esther talking to her cousin Mordecai. And if we go into the background of this, what's happened is the Jews have come out of captivity. This is not a bad time for them. There's a fellow by the name of Mordecai, who I've already told you is a cousin of Esther's, and something's happened, and there's a gentleman who thinks that he is really, really special. He's number two in charge, and as he walks by, they're supposed to, all people, where he walks, they're supposed to bow down. And there's Mordecai standing upright, and it really bugs this guy. He isn't happy about this. Does it again. Same thing happens. So he develops a plan, and he goes and he talks to the king because he's in that neck of the woods, and he says, hey, I think that if we don't have people show respect and bow down to you as king, that could cause all kinds of problems. People will start doing whatever they want. So let's make a law that says, and the king thinks, well, that's not a bad idea because it's honoring to me. But this fellow decides that he'll go a step further. He says, matter of fact, there's a guy out here, he's Jewish. And let's not just get rid of him, but let's get rid of all Jews. So we go into this point where Esther's at that stage. The king hasn't called for her. So Hatak is he's a person that runs errands for Esther. He delivers the message to Mordecai. And this scripture, if you read it, it gives me shivers. Mordecai sent his reply back to Esther. Esther said, hey, I've now become queen. And the way that happened is through another decree that this gentleman had made up so that they could be in control. And she got picked, but she was told to hide her identity as a Jew. So she's there, and Mordecai starts talking. He says, they've passed a decree. It's out here, and he sent the decree back to her saying, everybody of Jewish descent will be killed. And this is what he sent. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will come from some other place. Isn't that amazing? God isn't controlled by an earthly king. God isn't controlled by a decree made by man. God is in control. So Mordecai goes, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. And then there's this passage. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this? See, this is where an opportunity has arisen for Esther. She's gone from captivity. She's now been put in the ranks of being the queen. And life is good. Everything's fine. Everything's dandy. But now she has a choice. She has an opportunity to save the nation of Jews, the people, God's chosen people. She has that opportunity. What's it mean for her? Not much. If she goes in before the king, she can be killed. So that's reasonably significant, I would suggest. With Esther's life, it went from struggles to a new beginning and then conflict. Have you ever had conflict in your life when you think things are starting to move your way? Bet you have. I know I certainly have. Here's an opportunity for Esther to become a hero. And I'm going to look at a few things about being a hero. Heroes understand that the opportunity before them is a choice to participate in God's plan. That's number one. It's an opportunity for you to participate in God's plan of salvation for whomever. What an opportunity that is. So here's Esther. The first thing she's confronted with, she can participate or turn her back. Mordecai has made it very clear that it's not going to be so good one way, but this choice is still up to her. Our opportunity to step up for Jesus can lead to life-changing events, but there's always going to be challenges. Our life, as long as we're breathing, I think, is full of challenges, And that's okay. Sometimes it's better than others. Sometimes I'd really like to say there's not a good challenge here. Leave me alone. So Esther had the opportunity to be a hero of this story. She had to recognize that she had an opportunity to save her people. Mordecai helped her see that whole situation and the fact that it might have been orchestrated for just that time. Those decisions that happened way before in your life that you made and you haven't seen anything happen from them, and then it comes to that time. What decision are we going to make? She recognized that she had an opportunity. Heroes also seek God through prayer and fasting. Because her options were go before the king and die, or if you caught him on a good day, he might extend the gold scepter to her. So she said, before I do any of this, sent this back to her cousin. She said, before I do any of this, I want all the Jews in Susa to fast for 3 days, and I will do the same thing. So heroes need to have God on their side. God needs to be on our side. Isaiah 58 talks about fasting in a different way. It starts off with sackcloth and ashes, big deal. Is that what you really think fasting is? Go around looking mournful and feeling sad? That's not it. But in Isaiah 58, it says, verse 6, no, this is the kind of fasting I want. This is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongfully imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. This is the fasting he's talking about. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. If we're going to take up an opportunity, I think it's really important that we understand that this is not something I can do. I was telling somebody this the other day. I don't think it was anybody here. I was called a control freak at one point. Anybody that knows me knows that can't be true. However, I listened to a fellow who he was a psychologist, and he said, it's not a control freak. You're just a control enthusiast. I love that. It seems so much softer to take. But I want to get things done. I want to be a helper. This is, we're talking about me right now. I have in my nature to help. And if I see something that's not right, I want to help make it better. That's me. And it doesn't matter whether God's with me or not, because there's something that's wrong and it's got to be fixed. So he'll come along because he knows that it needs fixing too. And all he's really wanting for me to do is acknowledge that I need him in every situation. I need Jesus in every situation. So a hero is somebody who first recognizes an opportunity. Secondly, goes to where they need to go to. She went and she called others to go to that same place. Fast with me for 3 days. Let's see what God has for us. Heroes also overcome fear by trusting in what they've learned. So think about this. They've just spent 3 days fasting. They have the mind of God. She's set to do what she's not supposed to do. That doesn't mean you're not afraid. That just means you're going to overcome your fear by doing it. Esther agreed to approach the king, but the approach was based on the confidence that she had in God. Not the confidence that she had in Mordecai, not the confidence that she had being in a position of authority, being the queen, because the rules were spelled out. You come, you're not welcome, you're going to die. So she overcame her fear by trusting. In the Bible, the quote of fear not happens how many times do you figure? 365 times. Funny, huh? One for every day. There is not a day in 2025, we can't back up. There is not a day in 2025 that fear needs to control you. There's not a day in 2025 that I have to be fearful that God's not with me, that he's not there to help me, that he's not there to lead me and to guide me. Fear not, goes on, you know, like, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by name. That's pretty exciting if you ask me. Heroes recognize that God is always at work. I'm going to tell a little story on somebody. It happens to be me. A lot of you know my daughter. And for the last four, this is going into the fifth year now, she has been so very sick. And I have prayed and I've prayed and I've asked God, touch her. Take this from her, Lord. Please, God. I've gone through the bargaining stage. I've done just about anything. If you need me to, you want me to trade places, whatever you want, God, please. So then we had a crowd of people show up at our house. Paul, now would be a good time, I think. Holy smokes, that's a homely looking group, eh? We had all those people show up at Christmas time, including one you can't see. I was going to say my daughter-in-law, but it isn't. My granddaughter-in-law in the front left there has a little baby that she's carrying with her that's going to come and visit me in May, apparently. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. God is always, always at work. Those people around us, you can get rid of that. Now it's got me up there. It's got to go. They're all there. I love them dearly. I really do. So here's the thing. My youngest grandson of my son, Chris, is having heart surgery this Tuesday. He's a very athletic kid, and his heart rate's going from, at night, at times, 38 beats a minute, which seems to be pretty low to me, but they say he's athletic, but it goes up to 180. So they're going to go, and they're going to do an ablation, and they're going to fix his heart. The one thing that can't happen is he can't be sick for this operation to occur. So I don't know whether you were counting or not, or even noticed. I missed 3 weeks of church before last week because I was sick. And that crowd that showed up at our house, it was all predicated on whether I was going to be well enough for them to come, because Josh can't get sick before surgery. So turns out I get better, and Jane starts feeling sick. And I'm it's true confession time, I guess. I'm praying, and I honestly have to tell you, I said, God, I am so fed up. You tell us to pray. He needs heart surgery, man. My daughter for 4 years has been sick. Do you really answer prayer? Do you even care? I think I'm done. And I said, I just don't see it. I just don't see you answering prayer. I prayed When I did that, I prayed because Jane was getting sick, so I prayed for her. I had no faith whatsoever. I was convinced that in the morning she was going to wake up and she was going to be sick, and it would give me grounds for my rant to continue. And I was, oh man, not in a good place. I'm so glad that he has big shoulders and puts up with me. In the morning, we got up, and I was just waiting for Jane to come and say, yeah, I've got what you had. And she was totally fine. And we think, oh, that's miraculous. And this, let me rephrase that. I think, oh, that's miraculous. I didn't think that. Here's what I thought. She's okay now, but as the day goes on, she's going to get sicker. And I still see my daughter that's sick. My grandson is not going to get that surgery because of all this sickness. And as the day went on, two things happened. Jane did not get sick, but I felt like God was wooing me back, saying, hey, I can do it. We need to recognize that God is always at work, whether I can see it or not. Whether you can see it or not, God is always at work. Boy, aren't you glad you came today? You see, a hero doesn't get caught up in the circumstances when they have the King of Kings on their team. And finally, I'll read in Isaiah chapter 121, verses 4 and 5, it says, indeed, he who watches over Israel never sleeps nor slumbers. The Lord himself watches over you. How could I be so cheeky, and that's being polite, as to have an argument with the creator of the universe about what's going on for me? Finally, something that Esther did, she said yes to the opportunity that she had in front of her. She chose to go ahead and do it. And she went before the king, and the king, it's an amazing story. It's 10 chapters. Read it. It won't take you long. It's such an amazing story. The king says, the decree that I have sent out is irreversible. Can't do anything about that. So you come up with a decree that's going to help that, and, I'll go along with it. So with Mordecai's help, they wrote up a decree that said, whoever wants to go about killing the Jews shall be killed. So those hanger-ons, they decided, oh, they're not that bad of a neighbor. maybe we won't kill them after all. All that changed. And those that still wanted to, there was something that happened. Today, God's working, and he has opportunities for us. Today, God is working whether or not we recognize it. Right? He is working today, whether we recognize it. We need to recognize the opportunities and get involved in them. We need to do, whether we understand it or not, and that's something, again, that I have a bit of an issue with. You present your case to me, and if I understand it and it makes sense to me, I'm golden. We can go from there. Jesus made a call in Mark chapter 1. The Bible says, Jesus called out to them, come and follow me. I'll show you how to fish for people. These guys are fishermen. They know what they're doing. They're fishermen. And this guy comes walking down and says, come and follow me and I'll show you how to fish for people. And what I mean by that is we're going to do this and the world, we're going to present the gospel to the world. People are going to get saved. There's going to be such a wonderful thing. He didn't say that. Come and follow me and I'll teach you how to fish for people. I'm glad that I wasn't there, I guess. I think I would have said, yeah, that doesn't make sense. What do you mean? Are we? It just doesn't make sense to me. So I'm glad that I wasn't there. We need to recognize opportunities without understanding everything. I don't mean being foolish and blind, but I mean giving room for God's opportunities to not fit into my perspective, my view. When we recognize that we have an opportunity to join the King of Kings, we need to fast. We need to seriously come before God and get his mind. Certainly work through that with others. That's our protection as well. In my case, I may need to overcome fear. Does that stop you sometimes with things? What will people think? I've got some really good friends, and they know that I'm a believer. They know my background very well. That is not a hidden thing. But when they come into a difficulty in life, do I hold back and go, Jesus is the answer for this? But if I say that, what are they going to think? They're going to write me off. They're going to think, oh, we can't have that. Fear, as it turns out, we've been told to fear not more than 364 days or four times in the Bible. God is at work behind the scenes. If he's asked us to do something, remember that he's at work. He's not going to ask us to do something. He's not going to ask us to get involved in things unless he's going to be there to accomplish it. And through all that, we need to say, yes, Lord. Heroes of the faith, do we have opportunities? Do you have opportunities? Say, yeah, thanks. We do, don't we? And sometimes it's just sending. I mean, these are the easier ones. I was driving here and following the rules of the law and texting, not texting, but speaking a text to a friend of mine who's going through a very horrible time, and told him that God had impressed on my heart that I needed to pray for him for two things, for healing and for the peace that passes all understanding. That was an opportunity for me, and I'm slow. How I see those opportunities sometimes is God is gracious and says, remember, you were feeling that way, and you're feeling that way now, and if you don't do it, you're going to feel that way in a little bit. He prompts me. He gets after me. So, do we have opportunities? I've got an opportunity for you. I'm not even a salesman or anything. Next week, I think, Claudia and I were just talking about that. Next week or the week after, somebody could help me here, we're starting Alpha at church. Thank you. Next week, I knew it was January 15th, and I said that to Claudio. He got me second-guessing. It's all his fault. Next Wednesday. Everybody got that? Next Wednesday, you have an opportunity to come with friends, relatives, whoever, and have the gospel inundated in your life and their life. I'm going to read you a little quote from Alpha. Alpha, it is designed to provide guests an opportunity to connect with one another while providing the opportunity to share thoughts, ideas, and opinions in a safe and caring environment. Alpha helps bring people together while providing the chance to encounter Jesus. Our Alpha course, January 15th, 2025, needs heroes to step up. That's a challenge for right here, right now. I challenge you today to become a hero. Let it be written years from now that you were a hero of the faith because you heard, you were challenged, and you did. Jesus the hero. did something for others. Yeah? Jesus, the hero, when he did something, involved caring for others. Jesus, the hero, took the focus away from himself and pointed them to the Heavenly Father. And Jesus, the hero, did it through an expression of love. This morning, I pray that you would be challenged and that I would act on the challenge that I have experienced to become a hero of the faith.